Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with my friend, Pastor Dusty White of Coramdale Church. And every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about sharing your story.
Yeah, this comes out of last Sunday. We walked through Acts 20, the end of Acts 21 and Acts 22. At the end of that sermon, I gave a few practical tips to sharing your story, because sometimes as Christians, we don't really think through how we share our story, and we just kind of tell it. And what's intriguing about Acts 22 is Paul shares his story, and he does it in a really compelling way. The other thing is, he's sharing his story multiple times in the New Testament. We see it. We see Paul's conversion story on display in a few different ways. We see it three different times in Acts, and each time it takes on a different kind of contextualization. So wanted to walk listeners through just how to share your conversion story. Major hat tip here to the Apostle Paul in Acts 22, because what he does in Acts 22 is fascinating. The other thing is, major hat tip to Donald Miller. I've been listening to Donald Miller, been reading Donald Miller. He's one of my favorite authors because he tells stories so well. His writing is so captivating because of the stories that he is constantly telling. So,
what about the Apostle Paul and his story in Acts 22? Why is the way he tells it?
Yeah,
so compelling.
So, number one, I don't want to regurgitate too much of my sermon from last week, but one of the things is, you know, he's wanted dead, basically. These people want to kill him. He says, "Hey, can I talk? Can I say one thing?" And so the guy's like, "Sure." And, you know, the tribune's kind of thinking, I think the tribune's thinking, "Yeah, if you could get us out of this mess, that'd be kind of nice. So whatever you want to say here, that'd be nice." So, and, you know, he tells his story. That's what he does. So he like gets up there and he's like, "Hey, so here's my story. Here's how I was a Jew, just like you. I got converted to Christ. And then the Lord told me to do these things." So out of all the things he possibly could have said, he tells his story, which is just amazing. So that's been really intriguing to me. Obviously it was intriguing and inspired that sermon, but I learned a few rules in sharing your story through the Apostle Paul. Number one is, it's not boring. So I want to walk listeners through kind of like four rules here that I've learned from the Apostle Paul. Number one, don't be boring. The Apostle Paul's story is not very boring, number one, right? Like, he's on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden this light shows up. He gets stopped dead in his tracks, boom, and he gets converted, you know? So it's like, well, yeah, man, if like the Apostle Paul showed up, or if God showed up to me like that, it'd be hard to ignore, and it'd be really cool, and my story's kind of boring compared to that. Well, sure. Like, yeah. He's kind of a superhuman, and that's not the story that we all have. There are those stories, though, like even in our church. Mm-hmm. There's stories of people reading books and meeting Jesus, or I opened the Bible for the first time and God met me, you know, or something like that.
You probably don't mean boring though, by like, I saw a light, or the lack of being boring being, I saw a light in the middle of the road. So how about the person that was converted by just being raised in the church?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's something beautiful about that, that we can't downplay. So what's the not boring part about that?
Yeah. What I mean by don't be boring is, we're talking about Jesus changing your life. So that shouldn't be a boring story. That's what I mean. And I think sometimes we get, what I called in the sermon, pre-gospel amnesia, which is where I've kind of stolen the amnesia thing from Paul Tripp, but you know, we just kind of think, well, yeah, like I've been a Christian for 10 years now. So like, here's kind of what happened and blah, 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 blah. Well, like I'd rather read the classified ads than listen to that, you know? So like we're talking about Jesus changing lives.
Yeah.
And so if he changed your life, that shouldn't be a boring story. It definitely wasn't boring to you when it happened.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you grew up in a Christian home, man, that's a fantastic story too. It's not a boring story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fantastic story. So let's not bore our listeners with like boring facts. Paul could have just told the facts in Acts 22, but he doesn't. He like shares this compelling story of like, here's what was happening. Here's what happened. And this happened next. And, you know, so I think if you grew up in a Christian home, you can tell it in a non-boring way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just good to start thinking creatively. That's really what we're after here, right? Is like, let's think creatively about how we tell this story. If you're interacting with your neighbor, if you get an opportunity to share your faith with a coworker, really what they want to do is hear your story. And that shouldn't be a boring story. So number one, don't be boring. Number two, Mike, speak English. Now, I'm not being offensive when I say that. I'm not thinking about the bumper sticker that's telling people who can't speak English to speak English. I'm not saying that. But what's fascinating to me, the reason I'm saying speak English is because lately in politics, like if you listen to Donald Trump, he's speaking at a fourth grade level. And if you listen to everyone else, they're speaking at like eighth grade levels on intellectual political savviness, right? So like Trump's, I don't think he's doing this on purpose, but he's speaking plain language. Mm. He's speaking English to people and people understand what he's saying. So they're intrigued. They're like, oh, I kind of like this guy. He's kind of like me. Paul does the same thing in Acts 22.
Mm.
He first talks to the tribune in Greek and the guy's like, wait, you're Greek? Mm. And then he turns around and speaks Hebrew to the Jewish people. So he's speaking the language that his listeners are listening in.
And know your audience.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Contextualize.
Yeah.
And here's what I mean by speak English.
Speak American.
Yeah. What I have in mind here is Christian jargon.
Okay.
Like, so what do you think of, premillennial transformational, consummation
gospel
or something?
Centered.
Yeah. Like that kind of stuff gets into our language, and non-Christians don't know that stuff. They don't care.
Right.
They're not into that. We're into that. And it's okay to think right about theology. I'm not saying don't throw theology out the window. I'm just saying contextualize to your audience.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an electrician, speak electrician,
right.
If you're a lawyer, speak educated lawyer-like terms when you're sharing your story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it's like marketing.
Right.
I'm just saying, I have to talk like, so even if Mike, if you just think about like your neighbors, like you interact with your neighbors differently, based on what they are like, what are their personalities like? What are they into? And how do you contextualize in conversation? Do the same thing with your conversion story.
Yeah. All right. So if I'm talking to my neighbor, or if I'm talking to somebody I work with, or maybe it's a family member, and I have to speak differently, speak a different language with each different person. How do I then be real and authentic at the same time?
Yeah, that's super important. It's not just important to your story, it's also important. I think we discredit the gospel and what God has saved us from if we don't tell what God has saved us from.
Hmm.
So, and then if you take into account the whole millennial age and how millennials are looking for authenticity, before they're looking for anything. So if you're authentically into something and you're genuine and you're not a fake, then they actually might listen. And they don't even care if it's the gospel. They just want to, their number one value is authenticity.
Hmm.
Well, apart from like diversity and I get to do whatever I want.
Yeah, right.
But, I think, you need to contextualize, but you also need to be incredibly authentic. So, and here's what I mean. I think here's where it gets hard. I think the more we grow as Christians, this is true of me. The more we grow as Christians, the further away we get from our past.
Hmm.
So, and the more holy you get, because that's actually the book of Romans playing out in your life, right? So you are becoming more holy because you're becoming more aware of your sin. So you're not less sinful, but you're trying to sin less and you're letting the gospel go to work into the nooks and crannies of your life. So when you look back on your life, of what God has saved you from, you're like, oh, that's kind of gross. Like, I feel really terrible about some of that stuff if I look it down or if I look down the line, right? So, but man, that's what God saved you from. And that's what you need to rejoice in. And people need to hear that, because otherwise, why do they need to be saved, right? So, If your life is just all neat and tidy, then we have got to tell it like it is. We've got to tell it authentically. We've got to tell it, not just authentically, but honestly, about man, this is where I was. So like, for me, that looks like, before I was converted when I was 16. Before that, man, like 13, 14, 15, 16, girls were a huge distraction to me. And I did things, as a teenager with other female teenagers that I'm not proud of. Right. Okay. So that makes me sick to my stomach thinking about, but that's also my story.
Yeah.
So I need to tell that part because it's true. It's true. It's authentic. It's real. It's what God saved me from. It's one of the things that he saved me from. So we got to tell it like it is.
So how do we, in all of that, how do we keep Jesus at the center? So we're telling our story from our perspective. How do we make Jesus the hero of the story?
Mm-hmm. The beautiful thing about being a Christian is that we need to continually be impressed with Jesus. Hmm. He is the one who has saved you. He is the one who has entered into your life with irresistible grace, right? So in light of that being irresistible, that's your story. It wasn't, so here's what, sometimes I think we tell our stories like, well, I was in college, my roommate was a Christian, that seemed to be working out for him. So I needed a moral code. So I thought I'd try on Christianity. No way. Like, that's putting you at the center of that story, saying like, well, I needed some good values. The Christian ones didn't seem so bad. Mm-hmm. So I took them. Well, no way. Like, that's not even Christianity to the whole, what's happened is at your worst, God saved you. So if that's the case, man, Jesus is the center of that story. You're actually second chair in the whole thing. So he's the hero. He needs to remain the hero. People aren't going to be impressed with you.
Right.
They don't want to be impressed with you. They want to know, why are you so into Jesus? Why is Jesus such a big deal to you? Why do you worship Jesus? And so if you tell your story in such a way where you're at the center of your own story and Jesus is kind of like this middle, he's like Robin, but not Batman. Like, that's not good.
Yeah.
So Jesus has to be at the very center of our entire story. And this is what Paul does in Acts 22. I mean, he says, here's the deal. He's telling a story to the Jews and he's like, look, I'm on my way to Damascus. This great light shone around me. I got stopped dead in my tracks. I'm paraphrasing. I got stopped dead in my tracks. I fell to the ground. And the next thing that came out of his mouth was, who are you, Lord? So he says, who are you, Lord? The Lord answers, I'm Jesus, the Lord who you've been persecuting. So he's having a personal encounter with Jesus. That changes everything for Paul for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
So Jesus is the center of that story the whole time through Acts 22. Mm. And that's why the Jews have trouble with Paul, because he's saying, wait a minute, I thought you were this amazing Jew, and now you're bringing this Jesus thing in, and who is this guy? And he makes us uncomfortable. So, Jesus needs to be the center of our stories. We need to keep him at the center.
And we can't just see him as an actor in the story, but like, we have to be so wrapped up in the fact that Jesus has saved us. So we have to actually be excited about that. I think that's the compelling thing about stories. Like, what makes a good story is the person telling it, is they're compelled by their own, like, by the story that they're telling. And if you're not compelled by that, if you're not compelled by the gospel as a Christian, your story is going to fall flat. And not just, you don't just need good storytelling techniques. You need to be in love with Jesus and the fact that he saved you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then if you're not, I mean, if you're telling your story and you're not impressed with Jesus, then really you're just making noise.
Yeah.
And that's not even a good story. Mm. So, are you telling the story of God saving you, or are you just, you know, kind of wasting time at the water cooler? Mm. And the other thing that leads you to, right? So like, the reason you would be sharing your story is to communicate the gospel. The only reason you would be sharing your story, the number one reason, is not so that you can talk and hear yourself talk. The number one reason to share your story is because God might convert somebody through that.
Yeah.
That person might listen. That person might be intrigued. They actually might, in Paul's case, Paul's thinking, maybe they won't kill me. Like, so he says, hey, my biggest apologetic moment right now is maybe my own story. Hmm. So I'm just going to share it. Why? Because he wants the glory of God out there. He wants people to know, look, Jesus saved me. He's the center of my life. I realize that's not very popular, but this is actually what's happened. Mm-hmm. So, and they listen. Yeah. That's the other thing, is they go from a mob to wanting to kill him to actually listening, because he's telling them a really provocative story. And this is, you know, the reason you would, again, the reason you would share your story is so that other people might come to know Jesus, right? So if that's the goal, you want them to be impressed with your Savior, not impressed with you and your, you know, mechanics.
Right. What are some good grids or outlines that people can just start with on how to tell their story, how to lay it out?
Yeah, that's good. So number one, the Bible is a big story, right? Kevin DeYoung just wrote that book, The Biggest Story or The Greatest Story. I think The Biggest Story. And it follows the biblical narrative, which is creation, fall, redemption, and consummation. I mean, that's essentially from Genesis to Revelation, that's what you have. And God is telling us his story. And every story after that is just another interpretation of that. And, you know, so like, if you wanted to look at it this way, creation is the setting, or that's kind of the reality of it. The fall is the tension. The redemption is the heroic part of the story. And then the consummation is like the happy ending of the story. So like all movies follow that. Hollywood follows that grid. Everybody follows that grid. Like you and I have watched movies where you can be like, look, I can tell you what's going to happen at the end. You know, like the bad guys, or the bad guy's going to lose and that guy's not going to die, or, you know, something like that. So I think it's important to think through that biblical grid. That's a helpful one, Mike, to think through creation, fall, redemption, consummation. If that's too hard, I think it's okay too, to just say, here's three things. Here's who I was before I met Jesus. Here's how I met Jesus. Here's what I'm doing now because Jesus saved me. Because when Jesus shows up on the scene and he shows up into your story, and your story's changed, that's the case for you. That's the case for me. And so I think, man, if you got in the elevator at the hospital at the lobby level and you're going to the seventh floor, can you tell that story really fast, in a way in which you're not the center of it? It's life changing. It's not boring. Jesus is the center. Those three questions are kind of helpful, or those three bullet points. Yeah. So if you haven't done so already, or if you haven't done this in a while, I think it's good to just go back and reflect on your conversion story, and to think through, man, this is what God has done in my life. Not maybe what he's done recently, but this is how I met Jesus. And whether that's because you grew up in a good home, you know, like maybe you grew up being discipled by your parents, but it should be about Jesus also. So here's my conversion story. Here's what's happened. Here's how I met the Lord. So one thing to do, or one thing to consider, would just be to think creatively about your own story. Are you telling it in a compelling way? Is Jesus the center of your story? And if you haven't, I think it's actually very important for Christians to think through their own story, to have it even written out so that you can memorize it, so that you can think through, man, this is where I was at. This is what Jesus saved me from. This is where he showed up in my life. Here's what I'm doing now. Here's how my life has changed. Things like that. So that when the opportunity arises, like it did for the Apostle Paul, like it does at your work, like it does wherever within your neighborhood, you can tell that story confidently and creatively. Because if we're telling the best story, which is Jesus saves lives and he is the hero, and also, by the way, you don't have to go to hell anymore.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good story.
Right.
We want to do that well. Mm-hmm. We want to do that at least as good as, you know, a decent movie or a decent book or whatever else. So,
yeah. So you would encourage people to go, like, in your gospel community or Bible study or small group, practice telling your story with those people, because they can give you honest feedback. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You should practice that. We recently, had our 10-year-old daughter tell us her story, and I was a little nervous because she's a little insulated. So I actually thought, what's this going to look like? And is this going to be all about our family? She didn't mention our family one time. And it was so much about Jesus, man. It was so worshipful. Like, it was about her sin. It was about God being amazing. Like, and it was so worshipful.
Yeah.
But it was really the first, she's 10. So it was the first time she's ever done that. But man, it was beautiful and glorious. And then, yeah, of course, there's places for feedback. And there's, the more you share your story, Mike, to your point, the more you share your story with trusted people who can give you honest feedback, the better storyteller you're going to be with your own conversion story.
Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for this week's conversation. The goal of the Wednesday conversation is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. We invite you to join the conversation by tweeting us at Coramdale Omaha. And we'll talk to you again next Wednesday on the Wednesday Conversation.